woman.
Those who are not writing exams, you can meet me after the class, whatever may be the reason. ూటర్మేషు శక్తో గ్రామ్యసుఖేచ్ఛయా కర్మతంత్రం వితనుతే వేదవాద విపన్నధీః విద్యాతపో విత్తవపుర్వయః కులైః సతాం గుణైశ్వద్విరసత్తమేరితైః శృతౌ హతాయామృతమాన దుర్దృశా శబ్దాన పశ్యంతి హి ధామ భూయసాం సత్వం విశుద్ధం వసుదేవ శబ్దితం ృత సత్వేతస్మిన్ భగవాన్ వాసుదేవో మే మనస విధీయతే శరణౌ పిధాయ నిరయా జగతం పరీషే ధర్మా వితర్క్యసి ఛింద్యాత్ర సహ్యరుసతామసతా ప్రభుస్తే జిహ్వామసూన్ అపి తతో విసృజేత ధర్మ నవేదవాదాన్ అనువర్తతే మతే స్వయేవ లోకే రమతో మహామునేః యథా గతిర్గే రమనుష్యయో పృథక్ స్వయేవ ధర్మేణ పరం క్షితిః స్థితః మహిత్వాత్మా భువాదయః యథా మతి గృహంతి స్మ కృతానుగ్రహ విగ్రహం తమేవ వచ్చాశ్రయ భృత్య వత్సలం ముక్తుభిర్మృగ్యపదాబ్ద పద్ధతిం అనన్యభావే నిజ ధర్మ భావికే మన్యస్య వస్థాప్య భజస్య పూరుషం యస్య యద్దైవ విహితం సతేన సుఖ దుఃఖయోః ఆత్మానం తోషయం దేహీ తమసః పారమృచ్ఛతి గుణాధికాన్వదం లిఖ్యేత్ అనుక్రోశం గుణాధమాత్ మైత్రీం సమానాదన్విచ్ఛేయం నతాపైరవిభూయతే ప్రసాదాభిముఖం ప్రసన్నవదనేక్షణం సునాదం సుభ్రువం చారూ కపోలం సురసుందరం తరుణం రమణీయాంగం అరుణోచ్చేక్షణాధరం సదాశ్రయణం బ్రహ్మం శరణ్యం కరుణార్ణవం యోంతః ప్రవిశ్య మమ వాచమివాం ప్రసుప్తాం సంజీవయ్యిరస్వధాంనా అన్యాం హస్తరణశ్రవణస్వదాదీన్ ప్రాణాన్ నమో భగవతే పురుషాయ శుభ్రం యా నిర్వృతస్తనుభృతాం తవ పాద పద్మా ధ్యానాద్భవజ్జనకథాశ్రవణేన వాస్యాత్ సా బ్రహ్మణి స్వమహిమన్యపి నాసమాభూత్ కిం త్వం చకాసి లులితాత్పతతాం విమానాత్ భక్తిం మోహు ప్రవహతాం త్వయి మే ప్రసంగో భూయాదనంత మహతామలాశయానాం ఏనాంజసోల్వణమురువ్యసనం భవాభ్యం నేష్యే భవద్గుణకథామృతపానమత్ర త్వం నిత్యముక్త పరిశుద్ధ విబుద్ధ ఆత్మా కూటస్థనాది పురుషో భగవాన్ శ్రీభూష యద్బుద్ధ్యవస్థితమఖండితయా స్వదృష్ట్యా దృష్ట్యా స్థితావధిమకో వ్యతిరేక అస్తి రజోదుషస్తాత భవా దృశా జనా వాంఛంతి తద్దాస్య మృతేర్థమాత్మనో యదృచ్ఛయా లబ్ధ మనస్ప్రమిద్ధయా యస్య ప్రసన్నో భగవాన్ గుణైర్మైత్ర్యాదిభిర్హరి తస్మై నమంతి భూతాని నిమ్నామాపైవ స్వయం తిక్షయా కరుణయా మైత్ర్యా చాఖిల జంతుషు సమత్వేన సర్వాత్మా భగవాన్ సంప్రసీదతి शान्तस्मदृशशुद्ध सर्वभूतानुरञ्जनाः अच्युतप्रियबान्धवाः परान् विभवतद्वरवेश्वराद्भुता कथम् वृणीते गुणविकृतात्मनाम् येनारदाणामपि सन्ति देहिनाम् प्राणीयतैवल्लभते वृणेन च न कामयेनाशतदप्यहम् क्वचिन् न यत्र युष्मच्चरणाम्बुजाश महत्तमान्तर्हृदयान् मुखच्युतो विधस्वकर्णायुगमे समीवर सौत्तमश्लोकमहन्मुखच्युतो भवत्पदाम्भोजसुधातनानिल स्मृतम् पुनर्विस्मृतदत्ववत्मनाम् कुयोगिनाम् नो विदरज्वलम् वरैः चारुचित्रपदम् लक्ष्मम् सर्वेषामुपकारार्थम् तदा अनुवदम् इव गृहेषु कोटधर्मेषु शक्तो ग्राम्यसुखेच्छया कर्मतन्त्रम् विशनुते वेदवादविपन्नभिः विद्यातपो वित्तवपूर्वयः कुलैः सदाम् गुणैः सद्भिरसत्तमेरितः श्रद्धा न पश्यन्ति हि धाम भूयताम् तत्त्वम् विशुद्धम् वसुदेव शक्तितम् यदीयते तत्र पुमानपावृत सत्त्वे च तस्मिन् भगवान् वासुदेवो हृदोक्षजो मे नमसा विधीयते कर्णौ पिधाय निरया जगदत्विषयिषे धर्मा विचस्य स्मृभिर्नृभिरच्यमाने सिन्ध्याग्रशय्यरुषिदेवम् असि सिन्धुभुस्ते जिह्वामसूनपि ततो विसृजेत्त धर्म न वेदवादानुवर्तते मते स एव लोके रमतो महामुनेः यथा गतिर्देवमनुष्ययो पृथक् स एव धर्मेण परम् क्षितेत्थितः अप्यर्वादृत्तयो यस्य महीकान्दुमहि गृह्णन्ति स्म कृतानुग्रहविग्रहम् तमेव वत्साश्रयभृत्यवत्सलम् मुमुक्षुभिर्मृद्यपदाब्दपद्धतिम् अनन्यभावे निजधर्मभाविते मन्यस्यवस्थाप्यभिस्य पूरुषम् गुणाधिकान्मुदम् वीक्षेन्ननु क्रोशम् गुणाधमात् मैत्रीङ्गमानादम् वीक्षेन्नता वैरविभूयते प्रसादाभिमुखम् शस्व प्रसन्नवदमेक्षणम् सुनाथम् सुभ्रुवम् चारु कपोलम् सुरसुन्दरम् तरुणम् रमणीयाङ्गम् अरुणोष्ठेक्षणाधरम् गणताश्रयणम् गम्नम् शरण्यम् करुणार्णवम् भवन्तः प्रविश्य मम वाजमिमाम् प्रसिद्धाम् सञ्जीवयत्य शिलशक्तिधरस्वधाम्ना अन्यान्त स्वस्थचरणश्रवणत्वगाधीन् प्राणान्नमो भगवते पुरुषाय तुभ्यम् या निर्वृतिस्तनुभृताम् तव पादपद्म ध्यानाद्भवज्ञनकथा श्रवणेन वा स्यात् सा ब्रह्मणि स्वमहिमन्यविनाशमाभूत् किम् त्वम् ततासि ललितास्तताम् विमानात् भक्तिम् मोः प्रवहताम् त्वयि मे प्रसङ्गो भूयाजनन्तमहतामलाशयानाम् एनाङ्गसोल्बणमुरुव्यसनम् भवाद्भिम् नेत्ये भवद्गुणकथामृतपानमत्तः त्वम् नित्यमुक्तपरिशुद्ध विबुद्ध आत्मा कूटस्थ आदिपुरुषो भगवान् त्रिभूष यद्बुद्ध्यवस्थितमखण्डितया स्वदृश्य दृष्टाशितावधिमको विपदेगास्ति तस्य पदारविन्दयो रजोदिषस्तात भवादृशा जना त्वाम् सन्ति तद्दास्यमृतेऽर्थमात्मनो यदृच्छया लब्धमनस्मृद्धय यस्य प्रसन्नो भगवान् गुणैर्मैत्र्यादिभिर्हरिः तस्मै नमन्ति भूतानि निम्नम् आप इव स्वयम् प्रतीक्षया करुणया मैत्र्या सा किल जन्तुषु समत्वेन च सर्वात्मा भगवान् सम्प्रसीदति शान्तस्तमस्ति सर्वभूतानुरञ्जनाः अच्युतप्रियबान्धवाः परान् विभोतश्वरदेश्वराद्भुत कथम् वृणीते गृणविक्रियात्मनाम्
ఏనారకాణమపి సంతి దేహినాం కానీష కైవల్యపతే వృణేన చ నకామయేనా సతదప్యహం క్వచిన్ నయత్రయుష్మచ్చరణాంబుజాసవ మహత్తమాం చ హృదయాన్మఖచ్యుతో విధత్వకర్ణాయుధమేషమేవర కౌత్తమశ్లోకమహన్మఖచ్యుతో భవత్సదాంబోజసుధాతనానిల స్మృతిం పునర్విస్మృతగత్యవత్మనాం కుయోగినాం నో వితరత్యలం వరైః చారుపుత్రపదం క్లత్నం నిష్టం గూఢం అవిప్లవం సర్వేషాముపహారార్థం తదా హనువదన్ ఇవ. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ హరే రామ.
Many devotees have not yet submitted open book exam answer sheet, canto 3, third canto, second part, first part also come up only, so please submit. So these are compulsory items for your Bhakti Vaibhava degree, so it's not optional. So Rajachandru has already submitted long back both the tests. I hope none of you are busier than Prabhuji. So better you submit. Hare Krishna. And some devotees are working on that project, no? Course is making. So spend 1 or 2 hours every day, and weekends you can spend more time on that. Okay? We are given what all of you are supposed to do, no? Rajakramantu has taken a meeting, so please spare some time. This is next 1 week or 10 days only. So he says by 9th December the data collection has to be completed. So post that they will have another meeting to finalize the course material. Managerial announcement before the ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరాంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజనాశలాకయ చక్షురుమీలితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీగురవే నమః. శ్రీచైతన్యమనోభీష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపపదామయ్యం దదాతి స్వాపదాంతికం. వందేహం శ్రీగురో శ్రీయుతాపదకమలం శ్రీగురోన్ వైష్ణవాంశ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణారఘునాథన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనాసహితం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం. శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపాదాం సహగణాలలితా శ్రీవిశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ. హే కృష్ణకరుణాసింధో దీనబంధో జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే. సప్తకాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుతే దేవీ ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే. వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్యేవచ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభో నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసవి గౌరభక్తవృంద. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Chapter 14, The Story of King Vena. So the last chapter describes the story of Maharaj Anga, how because of his corrupt son, misbehaved son Vena, Maharaj Anga just left the kingdom. Right? So now, in these circumstances, there was no king in the kingdom, and thieves and rogues were becoming more prominent, right? Their influence is becoming very prominent. The sages have enthroned Vena in these circumstances. Then Vena, being a bad king, is a bad character, so he was creating a lot of disturbance in the kingdom. He was stopping sacrificial performances. Because of Brahmana's blessings, he became the king, but he was stopping the Brahmanas only to do their regular sadhana. So Brahmanas went and attempted to just give a good advice to Vena, but Vena did not take that good advice. He was arrogant in his reply, and he was artificially keeping himself in the position of Supreme Lord and accusing all the sages that you should worship me, right? So, seeing such a hopeless situation, hopeless mentality in Vena's character, all the sages killed Vena. Right. So that is the subject matter of this 14th chapter. And again the kingdom became kingless. So then the next chapter begins. Text 1. Maitreya Uvacha.
Maitreya Uvacha.
Bhrigvajyaste Manajo. Lokanam Kshema Darshinah. Gopatyasati Vaidranam. Pashyanta Pashusam Yatam.
The great sage Maitreya continues, O great hero Vidura, the great sages headed by Bhrigu were always thinking of the welfare of the people in general. When they saw that in the absence of King Anga there was no one to protect the interests of the people, they understood that without a ruler, the people would become independent and non-regulated.
So, all these sages are described here as Lokanam Kshema Darshanah. These sages were thinking of the welfare of people in general. Lokanam Kshema Darshanah. That is the quality of these sages. So, they say that king is not there, so there is no one to protect the citizens. So, the people would become independent and non-regulated. So, that is the result of a kingless kingdom. The citizens will become independent and non-regulated. Independent here means independent of Shastra and sages and Vedic injunctions. Right? They will form a society without reference to religious duty or the absolute truth. So, that is the nature of this kind of independence. When there is no king, unregulated. So, all these sages upheld their duty to the society, but they feared becoming entangled in mode of passion. Although they are concerned about the welfare of the citizens, still, they don't occupy the throne, or they don't take the administration of the whole kingdom in their own hands. They will just give guidance and good advice to the king, who is the ruler, but who is directly in touch with the citizens. So they don't directly rule the kingdom. So why? Because when you get into administration, there is a lot of opportunity, scope to get into mode of passion. So that will be an obstacle in their sadhana. They are aloof from this political affair. At the same time, they are not so much detached and indifferent that when some chaos is going on in the kingdom, they will just continue to do their sadhana. Like that. So, when there is no king who can uphold the principles of Varnashram Dharma or the religious duties that a citizen has to follow, then at worst the people will become animalistic, or at best they can become little morally inclined without a higher purpose in mind. A king is supposed to administer Varnashram Dharma with an intention to please or to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the role of a king in a kingdom. Without such a king, the people will just become independent and unregulated, and they become animalistic. At the best, they can just become little moral. They can be remain moral. Some moral people can remain moral, but without a higher purpose, which is not upheld by the king. Right? Even the sages' goal in advising a king is based on some higher purpose. It is from Siddhir Hartoshana. Right? And the king has to govern the citizens with that higher purpose in mind. Like that. So the kingdom is, there has to be some vision statement. Right? So king is supposed to administer the whole kingdom based on the vision statement. Right? Vision statement. So like that is given by the sages. Like that. So here Prabhupada is writing, all the sages, Hagadva Bhrugu, were always thinking of how to elevate all the people of the universe to the spiritual platform. So ultimate goal they have to keep in mind. Right? With that they will elevate different people of different sections with that in mind. Okay. So for this person we have to elevate him to this standard. So what is the program? So they will decide. So citizens, consequently all the citizens become unruly, so much so that they could be compared to animals. So they have become like animalistic. Having no knowledge of the ultimate goal of life, such persons whimsically enact life without knowledge of life's purpose. This is like Shudra mentality. So Prabhupada criticizes the modern democracy, where everyone has a right to vote and choose a ruler. And Kali Yuga, Kala Sudra Sambhava, everyone is like a Sudra in Kali Yuga. And the rulers also will not have the higher purpose in mind. It is a Sudra, and erected by Sudra. Viramatram Ahuya. Viramataram Ahuya. Sunitam Brahmavadina. Tatsatya sammatam venam abhyasam chantatim bhuva. The Brahmacharya is prepared for the Queen Mother Sunita. And with her permission, they installed Bena on the throne as the master of the world. All the ministers have a disagreeing with this.
So even great things need advisors. That is what the first verse and purport are emphasizing on. Now there is no king only. Who will they advise? So, Veera Mataram Ahuya, then all of them, Veera is Veena. Veena, they call Veena's mother. Right? So, let's install, because by default he is supposed to be the king, he is the son of king. So, let's install him on the throne. So, mother, she will agree, but minister did not agree. Because already Veena had a very popular image that is very cruel, as the previous chapter describes. Even with some childhood only is maintaining that image. He will just play with some kids and throw the playmate into the ocean. So that's how his character is. So minister did not agree. But because there is no option in such an emergency circumstance, Brahmanas just allowed this to happen, the enthroning of King Veena. Sometimes Brahmanas and Kshatriyas also will have some difference of opinion. Right? Your ministers are saying something and Brahmanas are saying something. Right? So here, Prakriti Asammatam. Prakriti Asammatam Veenam. So Prakriti Asammatam. Chakravarti Pad says, two kinds of reading. Prakriti Asammatam is not approved by ministers, citizens or his mother. prakritya sammatam means not approved because of his nature. Because of his prakriti, he is not approved. Or prakriti did not approve. So the prakriti is their minister, their citizens, and mother, etc. Asammatam, they did not approve. So sometimes one has to make a best use of that bargain, which may not be approved by everyone. Just like here, ministers are not approving. Or may even backfire in future. So this case is one of such cases. So this will backfire in future. But in this circumstance, they thought this is the best possible outcome. Right.
శ్రుత్యాృతాశనగతం
అత్యుగ్రశాసనం నిలిల్యుర్దశవ సద్య సర్పత్రస్తా ఇవాసవ.
It was already known that Vena was very severe and cruel. Therefore, as soon as all the thieves in the rogue in the state heard of his attendance with the royal throne, they became very much afraid of him. Indeed, they hid themselves here and there as a rat hid themselves from snakes.
So he is a severe and cruel king. His cruelty protected the citizens in one way from thieves. Not only good citizens, but even thieves were also afraid of him because he was cruel. So in that sense, he was not a very good king, but he was known to be cruel and severe. Thus the state at least became free from thieves and rogues. Right. That is the temporary relief that he gave.
Sa'arodha
nukasthana unnadhosta vibhoti avamene mahabhagan sabdas samabhavi sabda sambhava sambhavika sata.
When the king ascended to the throne, he became all powerful with 8 kinds of opulence. Consequently, he became too proud. By virtue of his false prestige, he considered himself to be greater than anyone. Thus, he began to insult the great personality.
So, Arudha Rupasthana, he became the kingly position. Then, Unnaddo Ashta Vibhuti. So, 8 kinds of opulence he has attained. So, Prabhupada explains this Ashta Vibhuti. By dint of mystic yoga practice, kings generally acquired these 8 opulences. But King Vena did not practice any yoga, but still, because of his royal position, he became very proud and he started disrespecting and insulting great personalities also. Avamene Mahabhaga Sabda Sambhava Sambhavita Stava. He considered himself great, and Chakravarti explains this Ashta Vibhuti, 8 kinds of opulences, means he was possessing wealth from all 8 directions. So that is the meaning of Ashta Vibhuti. So, wealth from 8 directions. Yeah, that's the Chakravarti explains. And he became very proud. So, as soon as he sits on the throne, he is endowed with certain power, right? His word has power, right? And he will have a lot of opulence, position, everything. But leader must not only have power, he should also have character. So that is lacking in Vena's case. So, if you have to take birth again, here, Prabhupada is emphasizing this principle of pride. Pride is a great obstacle. Rajagopala Prabhu mentioned once that bhakti is the art of transformation from material to spiritual. Art of transformation. Now, if one has a quality of humility, then it transforms matter into spirit. If one has the quality of pride, it transforms spirit into matter also. Right. So humility and pride are like two opposite qualities that can bring about totally opposite outcomes. So the transformation depends on what quality we have. So bhakti requires the quality of humility. So here in the in we see in the fourth chapter of this canto that Shiva tells Sati, respect is offered to the super soul, not to the body. Right? But Daksha was very proud. Daksha, Shiva said, I couldn't see the Lord within his heart. Right? Because he was so proud. So therefore I didn't offer obeisances to him. So in their conversation, Shiva says like this. So humility is the quality that attracts the Lord, and pride repels. Like that. So here is very proud and he is insulting even the great personalities, like say this.
Evam mandata utchitto, evam madanda utchitto, nirankusha vivadhita, paryatanda tamasthaya, kampayan ivarodasi.
Then he returned overly blind due to his opulences. King Vena mounted a chariot and, like an uncontrolled elephant, began to travel through the kingdom, causing the sky and earth to tremble wherever he went.
Nayastavyam na datavyam nahotavyam vidah kvachit itinjavara yadharmam bheri ghoshena sarvacha.
All the twice-born brahmanas were forbidden henceforward to perform any sacrifice, and they were also forbidden to give charity or offer clarified butter. Thus King Vena sounded kettle drums throughout the countryside. In other words, he stopped all kinds of religious rituals.
So Vena stopped all religious rituals. Na yashtavyam, na datavyam, na hotavyam, vijakvachit. So people should not perform sacrifices, they should not do charity, and then they should not offer any clarified butter.
So itna dana tapa karma pavanani manishana. So itna dana and tapa, they should not be stopped at any time by anyone. But here, the king is supposed to facilitate that, but the king is stopping all of that. That is the opposite quality of the king that this king is possessing.
What was committed to King Vena many hundreds of many years ago
is being carried out by current atheistic governments, Prabhupada,
all over the world. The world situation is so tense that at any moment governments may issue declarations to stop religious rituals. Eventually the world situation will become so degraded that it will be impossible for pious men to live on the planet. Therefore, sane people should execute Krishna consciousness very seriously and go back to Godhead without having to return back and suffer miserable conditions predominant in this universe. So this Krishna consciousness is an emergency in the midst of this growing atheism. So as Kali Yuga progresses, atheism only grows, it will not diminish. So Krishna consciousness is always an emergency. Emergency, we have to accept it. So Prabhupada is encouraging in those lines. Even if someone has to take birth again, not sure when he will touch Deerga again. Even if he happens to touch, we are not sure how favorable will be the world situation that is standing. So once we got the opportunity, then we may have to take it seriously. That's what Prabhupada is saying.
Sometimes he forcefully there is so many disciples to accept this karma. But is it correct or not? Because at the same time the Lord incarnate as Buddha, and because of him that religion has to spread all over India.
Yeah.
which requires an elaborate answer. We can meet after the class, but I'll give a short preview. The purpose of Buddha's religion is Nindasi Yajna Vitehaha Hrithijatam Tadaya Hridaya Darshita Pasughatam Keshavadrita Buddha Sharira Veda Vidhara. People are using this certain sections of Vedic scripture that recommend killing of animals or sacrificing animals, and then they are sacrificing animals left, right and center. To stop that, Tadaya Hridaya Darshita Pasughatam. So pasus, animals are being killed left, right, center. To stop that, out of compassion on animals, Buddha came and he rejected the entire Vedic processes only. Rejected the Vedas only. Right. So that is the purpose for which Buddha incarnated. So we don't accept Buddhism. Buddhism is more or less like atheism only, rejecting Vedic scriptures. But he had to reject Vedic scriptures just to stop this animal killing, which is like too rampant in those days. Right? So that was the purpose. Definitely what Buddha proposed is not the ultimate dharma. Ahimsa is not karma dharma. Himsa has to be done as a part of bhakti and has to be himsa. Some criticize, some glorify. Okay. What Prabhupada says, you follow, no?
Yeah.
Hurry up, I would rather
read now. Yeah, now I got the answer.
Seventh only, right? Venasya veksha munayo Dirvrittasya vikeshtitam Vimrishya loka vyasanam Kripayotu sma satrina.
Therefore, all the great sages assembled together and after observing cruel Venus atrocity, concluded that a great danger and catastrophe was approaching the people of the world. Thus, out of compassion, they began to talk among themselves, for they themselves were the performers of these sacrifices.
So they enthroned King Vena, and then Vena is stopping sacrifices, and the performance of the sacrifices, who happen to be the people who enthroned Vena and the king, so they are getting worried. Saintly persons and devotees are not unconcerned with the people's welfare. Right, if they stop sacrifices, people will ultimately be affected, people in general. Right? So, ordinary karmis are busy acquiring money for sense gratification, and ordinary jnanis are socially aloof when they speculate on liberation, but actual devotees and saintly persons are always anxious to see how the people can be made happy, both materially and spiritually. Karmis means my own sense gratification. Jnanis means my own liberation. Devotees means they are compassionate on everyone. They will do their sadhana and they want others also to get connected to Krishna consciousness. That is sages, devotees. So sages are concerned about the welfare of people. So that is the whole theme here. Repeatedly that happens in this Vena episode. So therefore the sages began to consult each other. So, people are, sages are concerned about the material and spiritual welfare of people in general. So, grammatical sages must be alert to any maladministration by the management. That's what these people are showing. And they were the real well-wishers of the society. Real well-wishers are always selfless. So, they may just be absorbed in their other activities like the nannies do, but they are going one step ahead and becoming concerned about the people in general. So sages are generally peaceful, right? They don't accept too much pain or anxiety, but sometimes they will feel anxiety out of compassion for others.
So here, this is an expression of compassion on the part of the sages. And once absorption in Krishna consciousness leaves awareness to the awareness of the problems of others also. It's not that I am a devotee and I'm indifferent to the suffering of other people. That's not the right way. Hridayananda Goswami, I was reading somewhere, Hridayananda Goswami writes that WDC incident happened, right? So, I think Radhika was sharing this from the article of Hridayananda Goswami. If devotees become indifferent to those people, they say we are not concerned about that kind of incident, then we are lacking love of Godhead. Right? It's not that devotees aloof from material situations, but being non-compassionate is like lacking love of Godhead. That is it. So one should not be interested in their own elevation only. Right? They should be concerned about other people. And unless the material circumstances are favorable, it will not give enough impetus for them to follow the religious thing. Right? So they just wanted to do something about the political situation also at that point. Because they also felt responsible. We are the one enthroned Vena, and he is misbehaving. So we will also be implicated. Right? So that is another concern also of the sages. 8. Yes, sir.
So recently or sometime before, the thought amongst the devotees regarding having good governance of the nation was like not very well developed.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, devotees were very indifferent to who comes into power and who comes into governance.
Nowadays, vote, you have to vote, and
now, at least in the last election, we saw informally something like that is happening. But still, many people have a very critical view about it. Many families, etc., they say that, you know, it should not be involved, this is not devotional service, you know, it should depend on Krishna. So they have a very one-sided view about how to depend on Krishna. But we see in this case over here and this purpose of Prabhupada that, you know, the sages are also mindful of who comes into government, who is ruling. So what is the view and what is the opinion on this one?
Okay, it's like turning to a positive direction. That's what we can see. No? At least in GE, voting is compulsory, and the first batch of Vidyapeet, they had their water cards and whatever here. So they shifted to Kapati. They are doing their services there. Just to put that vote, they came all the way here in their busy schedule. Just to do this voting thing, they have to travel 6 hours, 3 hours back and forth. At least awareness is being spread, and then we are going moving to the positive direction.
The reason I said is because there are some ISKCON leaders who have heard about these kind of arrangements and the talk going on, and the environment are charged with voting, vote for. So they were very critical about it, that, you know, what is this? We should not be discussing all these things, these are material.
Everything takes some time to digest. Right? When initially when a decision is taken, it's not that it's wholeheartedly and unanimously approved by every single person. But whenever there is some change, there is little opposition. So it will eventually be taken into account. Even the GE also, when we are posting updates on Facebook, right, some yoga retreat, this and that, many people have a different kind of objections. What this has to do with Krishna consciousness, all that is there. And slowly people are digesting. The people who never saw a temple in Chowpatty there, right, Bombay, people who are staying close to Chowpatty temple, marine lines are different, that they never saw Chowpatty temple, Radha Gopinath Mandir. And those people come here for retreat. We come to know that, hey, he is the person who is just staying next to our place. Because of the expansion here. They are interested in some environmentalism, architecture, sewage technology, water conservation, this and that. All things are here. So people are coming here. So slowly it will take some time to for things to penetrate. So acharyas had a vision for anything, subject matter. It's like phalena parityati, Prabhupada says, result will show. So eventually the results will come. So an acharya envisions certain things now, and that will be received by people after a long time. Right, he can envision the future and then do something. You know, something like this, working thing also, something like that, people may just become aware. So that is really good. In Bhagavatam we are having a proper example also from this.
अहो भयतः प्राप्तम् लोकस्य व्यसनं महत् दारुण्य भयतो दीप्ते युवतस्कर पालयोः.
In the great sages consulted one another, they saw that the people were in a dangerous position from both directions. There are five places on both ends of log. The ants in the middle are in a very dangerous situation. Similarly, at the time, people in general were in a dangerous position due to an irresponsible king, one on one side and thieves and rogues on other.
So there is a log, and the log there are some ants, and from this side fire is coming, that side fire is coming. This side vena is coming, that side thieves and rogues are coming. So from both sides, they are in danger. So we have to do something about it. That is the concern of the sages, selfless concern of the sages. They are the real well wishers.
Arajata bhaya desha
krito raja adadarthana satyasi bhayam pragya katham syat prasthi dehinam.
Thinking so, but thinking to save the state from irregularity, the sages began to consider that it was due to a political crisis that they made Vena king, although he was not qualified. But alas, now the people were being disturbed by the king himself. Under such circumstances, how could the people be happy?
So there is the question, if king is like this, under this political crisis, how can people be happy? So, Brahmanas must teach and Kshatriyas must facilitate purification of citizens' existence by Yajna, Dana and Tapa. Right? So, what quotes Yajna, Dana, Tapa? So, Brahmacharis must perform sacrifices, Yajna. Then, Grihastas do charity, Dana. Then, Renunciators, they must do Tapasa, austerity, etc. So, these are the procedures by which everyone can be elevated to spiritual platform. And when the king, who is supposed to facilitate all these functions, is stopping all these functions, then such a king should not be on the throne. Right? Such a king will cause havoc in the society. So these people are concerned about him. Ignadana tapakarma na tyajyam karyam evadat. Ignadana tapasya pavanani manishinam. Pavanani manishinam. They will purify. These activities will purify people. And the king, who is supposed to facilitate such purification, is stopping the purification. Here, 10th verse. Ahir ivataya posha poshatasya atyanarthabhrit vena prakshatya khala sunitha garbha sambhava.
The sages began to think within themselves. Because he was born from the womb of Sunita, being Vena is by nature very mysterious. Supporting this mysterious king is exactly like maintaining a snake with milk. Now he has become a source of all difficulties.
So, Ahir, means snake. Ahir is snake. Ahir is a tayoh posha, poshakasyati anartha vritt. Even if a snake is served milk, even if someone maintains the snake with milk, it will only cause difficulty. Right? So, there is no gratitude on the part of that envious living entity. The king, here this Vena is made king by the Brahmanas, and he is just torturing the Brahmanas. So, there is no gratitude. So the greatest sin which even the Lord cannot tolerate is ungratefulness. Right? Snake can bite even the master. Right? Here, saintly persons are generally aloof from social activities and materialistic way of life. So King Vaina was supposed to be supported by the saintly persons just to protect the citizens, but he became the source of trouble to the sages. So they have to leave their aloofness. They are generally aloof from political affairs, but Brahmanical aloofness must be discarded in case of emergency. I think Padma Vignamayagru was there in our stage at time. What was that? Some Mataji caught fire in some DT kitchen, and some Brahmachari is there. And then somebody said, please come and help. And he said, no, she is already there, and there is another there, how can I go? So I'll what was that? What was the reply he got?
He's like,
okay. Then somebody just gave a comment on that, no? Fine. So basically, can be like so aloof. Ideally, Brahmachari is not supposed to just interact with Matadis or just, but he's not going to just have a fun talk. He's going to be from service. He can be aloof in that circumstance, in such an emergency circumstance. So these Brahmanas are not being aloof. When they can do something good, they will do it. And when there is no one to bring a change in the situation, they have to do it. So that's what they are doing. So Vena, instead of being obliged because of the saint's mercy, turned out to be their enemy. No gratitude. This is the theme of ungratefulness, just like snake bites his own master. Actually, snakes, no one can become a master of snakes. Even if the master is there, then he will just pull out the fangs and then only he will become the master. As long as poison is there, he wants to bite only.
We appointed Guru Vena, king of the state, in order to give protection to the citizens. But now he has become the enemy of the citizens. Despite all these discrepancies, we should at once try to pacify him. By doing so, we may not be judged by the sinful result caused by him.
Killing a snake will not be, by killing a snake one will not incur sin. This is mentioned by Shastra and Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta Sakshita Kuran. Lilamrita mentions this. Right, once Bhaktisiddhanta Sakshita Thakur tie a snake there and he ordered that it should be killed. So, yes, by killing this fellow, we will not incur any sinful reaction. So, Shivarasa are very much afraid of incurring sinful reaction. The law of karma prohibits the person even to associate with a mischievous individual. And so far, they have been supporting him. Right? So, these sages became afraid of being contaminated by the sinful activities of Vena also, because they are the people who enthroned him. Right? They will also share some reaction. Right? So that is their fear. Here, one as an observation, that while enthroning, all these sages consulted mother. You see in the second or third verse. Right? They consulted the mother while appointing him, but not while sacking. While sacking him, they took the independent decision. So, political emergency, which is affecting many people, right, is more important than the opinion of some people or the feelings of the beloved ones. Right? Now, if you call the mother Sunita, she may say, hey, we are dethroning him, how will he feel? He may feel bad, and I will also feel bad. So, that kind of things are not entertained here. It's a political emergency, he has to be dethroned. No other way. Right? So, what Vena was doing is, he was thinking himself as supreme. He was thinking, I am the object of worship of everyone. Right? He is forbidding all sacrifices. Right? So he demanded that in future everything should be offered to him. That will be revealed in the future verses. Right. So he stopped in sacrifices. All the sages felt compassionate on Venus, on the citizens. So they are taking some action. So association will create sinful reactions. Another reason that we discussed is because they were supporting him so far, they enthroned Vena, so they thought they will be implicated. So because of his atrocious behavior. So if one participates directly or indirectly in a good work or bad work, he has to get the resultant reaction. If he indirectly do some good work, he will get the result. So Prabhupada says, one who kills animals, or one who sells the meat, or one who cooks the meat, or one who eats it, so all of them will be implicated in the sin of killing animals. Right? Or I didn't kill animals, I'm just eating. So you can't say that. So everyone will be implicated. Ratio is not mentioned, everyone will get some reaction. See, ultimately it is nonsense. Prabhupada says, Prabhupada gives his example, there is two. And a pig sees, pig will discriminate in a wet stool, it is a dry stool, it may discriminate. But ultimately it is stool only, whether it is dry or wet, whether it is juicy or just dry or whatever, so it is stool. So one will be implicated. So the ratio, I don't know. You know? Equally. Okay, Harish. We'll be doing later. That is not the subject here, eh? That's what I said now. Okay, equally punished. Okay, Prabhu, come back. 12th verse. Tadvijadhir asad vrittam venasmadhih kritohan rupa Shantito yadino vacham nagrahishyatya dharmakrit lokadhukkara sandagdham bahishyama svatejasa. The saintly sages continue thinking, of course, we are completely aware of his mischievous nature, yet nevertheless, we enthrone Vena. If we cannot persuade King Vena to accept our advice, he will be condemned by the public and we will join them. Thus by our prowess we shall burn him to ashes. So, actually, in some future chapter, Krutumaraj instructs his students that the results are equally shared by the doer, director and supporter. Doer, director and supporter will equally share. In that context, Prabhupada mentioned, Krishna consciousness is genuine. Those who are practicing Krishna consciousness and those who are supporting Krishna consciousness by donating for a temple or whatever, all of them will get benefit. So that's how Prabhupada says. Same result. Prabhupada says same result. As the devotees of the ISKCON. Now in the 12th verse, Sages started thinking, if we will try to convince him, but he doesn't. If he doesn't hear, then we will burn him to ashes. So they did not immediately take an action that we will just burn him to ashes. They wanted to give him one chance. Right? They are saying we will burn him to ashes. But currently, the Brahmanas in Kali Yuga, they don't have the power to burn anyone to ashes. They can't curse. Okay? They can't take any action. All they have is the power to pray. So they have to pray. Right? They can't just become angry and have a political say on it. So saintly persons are not interested in political affairs. Yet they were always thinking of the welfare of people in general. Brahmanas do not even have the power to perform sacrifices here. So Prabhupada simply says, in Kali Yuga, Brahmanas have no power to perform sacrifices, no power to curse anyone. And even if the glands are just do whatever, nothing will happen. So better they do Hare Krishna mantra chanting. So that's all they can do. Pray. The general populace can be delivered, can derive all benefits without political implications. If one simply chants Hare Krishna. 13th verse. Evam Adhyavasayin Sayinam Manayo Godhamanyara Upavarjya Dhruvan Venam Santravitva Samadhi.
The great sages, having thus decided, approached King Vena. Concealing their real anger, they pacified him with sweet words and then spoke as follows.
So they concealed their real anger and pacified him with Samadhi, very sweet words. Sama must precede Dana. Then comes Danda and etc. So first pacify with sweet words. Right. The pacification and an opportunity for rectification must be given before any action. Before taking any action, you give him an opportunity for rectification and you have to pacify him with sweet words. Actually, one may be affected by some negative circumstance and he may be very anxious about it, very much concerned about it. Right? Still, one should not express his negative emotion immediately. Although it is bona fide and it is natural and it is valid emotion to become angry in such kind of circumstance, still one should conceal it and then try for a positive change. So like that. So art of pacifying needs that one should conceal his anger and restrain any expression of his negative emotions. Right? That is, by doing so, there is always a chance of improvement in the situation. Right? So one should always utilize that opportunity. Without any fighting or any shouting, if the situation can be rectified, one has to do it. So one has to take that opportunity first. And then not be too eager to express his negative emotions. And sometimes we may lose the opportunity to create a positive change in the situation by expressing, by being too eager to express our negative emotions. That is important. Narada Muni tried till last moment. So he went to Daksha and then he thought, I should make him also devotee. Why should I leave him? All his sons are delivered and all his previous people, right? They are also delivered. Descendants are delivered. Why should I leave him? So I will go and preach him. So till last moment, till he cursed, till Daksha cursed Narada, also Narada Muni was waiting. So I will do something for him. Because he was so hopeless case, Narada Muni had to finally leave. And same thing happened in Vena's case also. He was also hopeless case. Instead of speaking so many sweet words and good advices, he was not ready to change. So the counseling of Vena begins from 14th verse. Munaya utuhu Rupavarya nibodhaitad Yatte vignapayam abho Ayushri balakirtinam Tavatata vivardhanam.
The great sages said, dear king, we have come to give you good advice. Kindly hear us with great attention. By doing so, your duration of life and your opulence, strength and reputation will increase.
Very nice. You hear our advice, good advice. Right? By doing so, Ayu Shri Bala Kirtina. Your Ayu, your Shri, Bala, Kirti, all will increase. By taking good advice of saintly people. Right? Bona fide sources. And disregarding their good advices will destroy all of them. Ayu Bala, Shri Bala Kirtina. That is implied here. So Prabhupada says here that kings would first accept the authority of saintly persons. Then they exhibit the monarchical power. This will make the citizens happy. King in those days will exercise his monarchical power, but before that, good advice of saintly persons is always the guiding force. And then only that can bring a positive transformation in the citizens. Right? You can make them happy. But in Kali Yuga, kings don't follow saints. Right? So, both government men and the saints and the citizens, all of them are unhappy because of this. What is the unhappiness? Short life, riches, no bodily strength, no spiritual power. That is how proper it is. If citizens want to be happy and prosperous in this democratic age, they should not elect rascals and fools who have no respect for saintly persons. So that's how Prabhupada says. 15th verse. So here in the 14th verse, he decides, you take our good advice, your ayu, bala, sri, kirti will increase. 15th verse they are saying. Dharmanacharitah pumsam vanmanah kaya buddhidi lokan visokan utarati athanantyam asanginam.
Those who live according to the religious principles and who follow them by words, mind, body and intelligence are elevated to the heavenly kingdom, which is devoid of all misery. Being thus rid of the material influence, they achieve unlimited happiness in life.
So how to attain happiness in this life and in the next life also? By following dharma. By one's body, mind, intelligence and words. One has to follow dharma. Then he will be happy in this life and in the next life. That's what they are saying. And king is supposed to set an example by living a religious life. And what is religious life? Religious life means worshipping Supreme Personality of Godhead, as Prabhupada says. So by leading a religious life, one will be happy in this life and the next life. Anantyam, he will get unlimited happiness in liberation. Right? Asangina, he will be freed from material influence. These are the results of following dharma. Right? And Prabhupada says, dharma is worshipping Supreme Personality of Godhead. Doing devotional service unto him. Right. So by doing devotional service, king rids himself of contamination of mode, and the public will gradually be elevated back to Godhead. Like that. So here they are encouraging him to follow dharma. 16th verse. Now king is supposed to follow dharma, and king is responsible for the citizens' dharma also. Right? And you are spoiling your spiritual life by not allowing them to do any sacrifices. So don't do that. Right? That will cause your fall down. That's what they are saying in the 16th verse. Satema aduna sed viram prajanam shema lakshana yasmin vinaste vipatir aishwaryat avarohati. The great sage continues, O great hero, for this reason, you should not be the cause of spoiling the spiritual life of the general citizens. If their spiritual life is spoiled because of your activity, you will certainly fall down from your opulent and royal position.
Satyama vinashet vira prajanam kshema lakshana.
Right? Don't spoil their spiritual life. Yasmin vinashte, if you do that, if you spoil their spiritual life, Nupatir, O king, aishwaryat avarohati, you will lose your opulence. You will fall down from your opulence. So they said like that. The leader who causes the spiritual downfall of his followers or disciples will have to suffer. Right? It's not that you are causing their fall down only. It's indirectly you are causing your fall down also. Right? You are responsible for it. So, actually, one who is in a high position is responsible for the welfare and future of many people. Many of his dependents or followers or disciples or citizens. That is the responsibility of someone who is taking some position. Guru Nasasyas, Janani Nasasyas, you quoted yesterday. So, one cannot afford to act whimsically if he is in the position of a leader. That's what this sage is recommending. A corrupt leader will create distrust, and disrespect, and disobedience in his citizens. So he is corrupt, he is misbehaving, he is acting whimsically. People cannot trust him. And eventually they will disrespect him and they disobey him. So this is what he is going to create in his followers. And the entire system will collapse. Like that. So monarchy in those days, it was proper. Like a person is exhibiting, exercising his monarchical power based on the advice given by saintly persons. When that system stopped collapsing, right, when some monarchical people are giving more preference to godless sense gratification, all these monarchies are abolished. Then democracy came into picture. Right? So because of the deviant behavior of some monarch, monarchy is abolished and democracy came. So Prabhupada says, simply by replacing monarchy with democracy is not the solution. The solution is to follow in the footsteps of religious personality. Mahajanoyana Katha Sapanta is the solution. So what is that quoting for? Here is Drapavarya Nibodhaitat Yatte Vignatayama Bho Ayu Shri Bala Kirtina Tavatada Vivardhanam. Ayu Bala Shri Kirti will increase if one takes good advice of saintly persons. If the principle, if they don't take, just replacing the monarchy with democracy will not give any better solution. That's what Prabhupada says. Mahajanoyana Katha Sapanta, following the footsteps of religious personalities. And what will the Mahajans do? They will recommend something which is coming from Shastras only. Shastra Vidhi Mitridya Vartate Kamakarata Nasatidhimavatmati Nasukam Naparangati. That's what the whole thing math is here. If you keep aside Shastra and behave whimsically, then there is no happiness in this life and in the next life also. That's what in the previous verse also says. Dharma Acharita Punta. So if you follow Dharma, you will get happiness in this life and in the next life also. Like that. So 16th verse. They say, don't spoil people's spiritual life, otherwise you will fall down. 17th verse. They are saying, what are the beauties of a pious king? Rajan Asad Amatyebhya.
Rajan Asad Amatyebhya.
Chorajibhya Prajandrupa. Rakshanyatha Dalum Grihnan.
Rakshanyatha Dalum
Ihaprityachamodate.
The saintly person persons continues, and the king protects the citizens from the disturbances of mischievous ministers as well as from thieves and rogues, he can, by virtue of his pious activities, accept taxes given by his subject. If a pious king can certainly enjoy himself in this world as well as in the life of the dead.
What is the duty of a pious king? He should protect the citizens from not only thieves and rogues, from corrupt ministers also. Sometimes ministers also will behave whimsically. So king is supposed to protect the citizens from all aspects, negative forces. Then he is eligible to accept any tax from the citizens. Otherwise he cannot accept. Right? So he should protect the citizens from corrupt ministers and thieves and rogues. Then he can accept taxes. Then he will enjoy in this world and in the next world also. That is the whole system. Because in those days, in the days of monarchy, king would personally appoint the minister. If ministers are misbehaving, it is responsibility of the king to correct them. Right? So, that offerance of protection only will give him the right to exact taxes. So, Prabhupada quotes 12th canto. And he says, Prajaste bhikshayishvanti mlecha rajanya rupina. So, Kaliyuga's nature is, mlecha rulers will torment the subjects. Right? And subjects will practice evil habits and then become very vicious. Prajaste bhikshayishvanti. Then mlecha rajanya rupina. This is the nature of Kaliyuga. Kalava sudra sambhavat. Right? Sudra sambhavat. What is sudra? Sudra, what is there in his place? If he is only fit to work under the three higher classes. That is the nature of a sudra. Then, he is less intelligent. Then third, he says,
he can only elect a person in his own category. If a Sudra has to vote, he will vote to another Sudra only. Property. Right? So, Kali Yuga is filled with the Sudras. Kala Sudra Sambhavat, as Shastra said to him. How can anyone expect any improvement in Kali Yuga situation, political situation? Like that. In other Yugas, general populace is not so degraded, and king is also never elected. King was not elected. And population was also not so degraded. That's why the situation, political situation in those days was much better compared to here. Right. So, Prabhupada also gives the qualities of a king here. Very nice. King is a one, supreme executive personality. Two, the kings are, he dismisses dishonest ministers. Three, he runs the government with strict vigilance. And four, he protects the citizens. Five, he takes taxes. Six, lives happily, peacefully in this life. Seven, he is elevated to heaven or even Vaikuntha in the next life. Like that. So these are the responsibilities of a king, pious king. Then 18th verse. Yasya Rashtra Puru Teva Bhagavan Yajna Purusha Vijyate Svena Dharmena Janayur Varsha Janayur Varana Ashraman Vitaihi. The king is supposed to be pious, in whose state and cities the general populace strictly observes the system of eight social orders of Varna and Ashram, and where all citizens engage in worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead by their particular occupations. So, the state's duty and the citizen's duty are mentioned here. What is the state's duty? To maintain Varna Ashram, and to see to it that everyone worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And what is the citizen's duty? To engage in their prescribed duties of Varna and Ashram and offer the results to Krishna. That's what they are supposed to do. Those responsibilities are summarized in this verse. So, Yasya Purusha Bhagavan Yajna Purusha Ijyate Svena Dharmena. Bhagavan Yajna Purusha, Supreme Lord Yajna Purusha Ijyate. One has to worship him Svena Dharmena by following his prescribed duties. Of Janai Varnashramanita in their respective Varnas and Ashramas. This is an important verse. The activities of king and citizens should be directed that ultimately everyone engages in devotional service to the personality of Godhead. Just Varnashram, following Varnashram is not sufficient. The other day we were discussing, it is also external, as Mahaprabhu said. By following Varnashram, one has to worship Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one keeps that aside, if the system is not sufficient. Again, Prabhupada summarizes the qualifications of a king. One, he is representative of Supreme Personality of Godhead. He sees to the proper situation of Varnashram. He must not declare a secular state that takes no interest in Varnashram. These are some points that Prabhupada mentions. Vishnu Puran, Prabhupada quotes Vishnu Puran and says, unless people are educated or situated in Varnashram, society is not a human society. And it cannot advance in ultimate goal of human life, which is going back to Godhead. And Bhagavan Yajna Purusha, Lord Yatra said Yajna Purusha, means he is the enjoyer of all sacrifices. Bhaktaram Yajna Tapasam. So Krishna or Vishnu is the ultimate purpose of all sacrifice and the enjoyer of all sacrifices. So one has to do any duty to satisfy him. Yajnartha Karmanonyatra Lokoyam Karma Bandhana. So perfection of life and one's duty is to engage in an occupation and render service by the resultant actions and worship the Supreme Lord. So this is the common substance of proper maintenance of the kingdom in accordance to Varnashram. Then the next verse, 19th verse. Tasyaragno Mahabhaga Bhagavan Bhuta Bhavana Paritushyati Vishvatma
Tushtato Anidushasane.
Oh, noble one, if the king sees that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the original cause of the cosmic manifestation, the super soul within everyone, is worshipped, the Lord will be satisfied.
So, if the king follows what is mentioned in 18, he sees to that Varnashram is like properly maintained and everyone is worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, if the king does this, Lord will be satisfied with that king. So, tishtato nitisasane. So, Chaturbhai translates this line as one who follows the Supreme Lord's instructions. So, a good king is supposed to take care of all these responsibilities. So, when Yudhishthira Maharaj was enthroned, Krishna felt very happy. Because Yudhishthira Maharaj can rule the kingdom in accordance with the scriptural injunctions, following the saintly persons, right? Following the instructions given by Bhishma Dev and Krishna himself, right? That is the nature of a good king. Then, if the king is ruling with this spirit, citizens can easily go back to Godhead. It is the ultimate purpose. What is the purpose of this creation? As we learn from the third canto and second canto, to reclaim the conditioned souls back to Godhead. So when a good king is on the throne, he will assist Krishna in reclaiming the conditioned souls back to Godhead. He will assist Krishna in fulfilling the purpose of this creation, entire creation. How to fulfill the purpose of entire creation? Just to engage everyone in worshipping Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? And to do that worship, Varnashram is a system which facilitates it. So he will implement Varnashram, right? And he will allow everyone to worship Supreme Personality of Godhead and that enable them to go back to Godhead gradually. So that's what a good king does. So kings have a very important responsibility in that sense. So basically Varnashram is the basic minimum living standard that human society should adapt. Right? And while following that Varnashram, one has to worship Supreme Lord. So Prabhupada says, dream of the whole purport is Varnashram and satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the key for happiness. In this life, in the next life also. There is no possibility of happiness if government or citizenry have no idea of Bhagavan, Bhuta Bhavana, Vishvatma. Here Bhagavan is described in various ways. He is Bhagavan, Bhuta Bhavana. Means he is the original cause of this cosmic manifestation. Then, Vishvatma, he is the soul of entire universe, he is the super soul of entire universe. Right? So, he has to be satisfied. Conclusion is, without engaging in devotional service, neither the citizens nor government can be happy in any way. So, Prabhupada repeats that. So, present things means they are more interested in sense gratification and missionary only. So, people should be free from entanglement of modes. And the only process is to surrender to Supreme Personality of Godhead. Once the population is situated in Varnashram Dharma, there is every possibility of a real life and prosperity, both in this world and in the next. So these are some of the statements of Prabhupada. So Varnashram is considered to be like a helium balloon, which is tied to a support. Unless it is tied to the support, it will go anywhere else. Right? It will just roam all over the place. So similarly, one may follow Varnashram, but he has to worship the Supreme Lord while following Varnashram Dharma. So that's important. Otherwise, Shamayeva hi kevalam. That's the standard of this. Tasmin stishte kimat pratyam. Jagatam Ishwareshwari. Lokasapala hiyo dhasmai. Haranti vali madhritaha.
Supreme Personality of Godhead is worshipped by the great demigods, controllers of universal affairs. When he is satisfied, nothing is impossible to achieve. For this reason, all the demigods, presiding deities of different planets, as well as the inhabitants of their planets, take great pleasure in offering all kinds of paraphernalia for his worship.
So, you have a nice flow that is going on. In the 18th verse, he says, what is the state's duty and the citizen's duty? Follow Varnashram, worship the Supreme Lord, etc. The 19th verse says, if king sees to it, then Supreme Lord will be satisfied. And if he is satisfied, what is there that is inachievable? Tasmim Sushto Kim Apratyam, Tasmim Sushto, he is satisfied, Kim Apratyam, what is impossible to achieve? Not going to achieve anything. Jagadam Ishwara Ishwara. For this reason, all the demigods and others will offer all paraphernalia for worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because satisfying him will give everyone all the desired results. Tasmim Sushto Kim Apratyam. So, one has to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead for all the necessities he may need. So, Prabhupada says, all living entities, either on this planet or on other planets, have to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead by their respective duties. When he is satisfied, all necessities of life are automatically supplied. Eko Bahunamya Vidyadati Raman, he is the one who supplies everyone all necessities. Even lower animals, they don't have to go to offices and do some jobs, get some salary and then procure their food, right? They are being supplied with whatever necessities they may need by Supreme Personality of Godhead. He has made an arrangement in the nature, right? But artificial, modern human civilization makes one forgetful of one's relationship with Supreme Lord and His grace and His mercy. So, he will always be unhappy and always in want of things. Always in need of things. He is always in need. Krishna will supply all necessities to everyone, but human being is always in need. While animals and birds are not so much in need like human beings. So what is the problem? Problem is the greed. Perpetually in need of something indicates the human being's greed only. It is his greed and others' greed. Right, if he is so greedy, he has unlimited desires to fulfill, he is always in need of something. Second, because of the greed of such rich people, poor people are always in need of something. Right, because of his own greed and others' greed, man is suffering. Even in the Rudra Gita purport, Prabhupada very nicely mentions. He gives this example of beehive. In a beehive, all the bees will go out and collect honey. So they will collect honey and then store the honey nicely. And when they actually attempt to enjoy that honey, they are bitten by other bees. Right? Similarly, human society is like beehive. He works so much hard work, he does whole day, 10 hours, 12 hours, 15 hours, 14 hours. He just works and then accumulate money. And when he is actually about to enjoy that money, he is just attacked by family members in an individual case. Other nations in a nation state, other states in a state state, right? So human society means it's like a beehive. Who does hard work, gada videsha, he will just work so much and accumulate so much, but he cannot enjoy ultimately. Just see a simple family man's life. Whole life he will just work 50, 60, he will just work for so much and then get a house, proper house, a car, bungalow, something like that for his family. And when he just sits there, but he doesn't have energy to enjoy any of it. Or his relatives or followers will not allow him to enjoy. They will not give him any peace of mind to enjoy. That is the sad saga of a materialistic family man. So Prabhupada says when there is a bag of rice lying on the street, the bird will come and pick up few grains and go. But man will just take the whole thing. Because of greed. And because of such greed, the entire human society is always in need of something. People do not know that the ultimate goal of life is to approach Lord Vishnu and satisfaction. Blind leaders are leading general people in materialistic way of life and ultimately to the path of unhappiness. Rectifying this world situation is possible by training people in Krishna consciousness and act in accordance to Varnashram. The prime duty in that system is to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to worship Him. Krishna consciousness movement was started to convince the general populace to adopt the best process by which to satisfy Supreme Personality of Godhead does solve all problems. Like that. So in this purport, Prabhupada is mentioning one's relationship with Krishna, how one has to satisfy Krishna. Isha Vaishnavaram Sarvam, Itkincha Jagatyam Jagat. The scriptures remind us of our relationship with God and our responsibility towards God and other human beings as human beings. So without a scriptural guidance, one's activities are filled with selfishness, then confusion, stupidity, priority, etc. So that's in this purport, Prabhupada is condemning all of that. 21. They are concluding their statements in 21 and 22. Tam sarva loka mara yajna sangraham trayimayam dravyamayam tapomayam yajna irvichitra yajato bhayayate bhavayate rajam svadeshan anurodha marhati.
Dear King, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, along with the predominating deity, is the enjoyer of the result of all sacrifices in all planets.
He is Lokamara, Sarva Lokamara Yajna Sangraham. He is the enjoyer of all sacrifices. Then,
the Supreme Lord is the sum total of the three Vedas.
He is Trayimayam, sum total of all three Vedas.
The owner of everything.
Dravyamayam, owner of all paraphernalia.
And the ultimate goal of all austerity.
Tapomayam. So these are the four qualities mentioned. Lord.
Therefore, your countrymen should engage in performing various sacrifices for your elevation. Indeed, you should always direct them towards the offering of sacrifices.
So, yajnair vichitre yajato bhavayate. So, your citizens should follow various sacrifices for your elevation. Bhavayate rajan. So, deshan anurodham arhat. In fact, you should guide them. You should direct them in offering sacrifices. And you are just stopping them. What is this? Yajnena yushmad vishaye dvijatidhir vitayamane nasura kalahare vishtasna tushta pradishanti vanshitam taddehalam taddhelanam narhati vira cheshtitam. When all the brahmanas engage in performing sacrifices in your kingdom, all the demigods who attend the extension of the Lord will be very much satisfied by their activities and will give you your desired result. Therefore, O hero, do not stop the sacrificial performances. If you stop them, you will disrespect the demigods.
So,
if you allow them to do sacrifices, as mentioned in 21, and if you direct them also, then all the demigods will be satisfied and give you desired results. So don't stop and don't disrespect the demigods. So please, that is their summary of instruction. We'll just go through it once again. 14th verse they are saying, by hearing our good advice, your Ayu, Bala, Sri and Kirti will increase. So what is our good advice? You should follow dharma. By following dharma, you will be happy in this life and in the next life. 15. And in 16, if you don't follow dharma, you will spoil not only your life, and you are also spoiling your people's spiritual life also. Don't be the cause of their fall down. That will cause your fall down also. That is 16th verse. 17th verse describes the duties of a pious king, what all he is supposed to do, administer Varnashram, etc. 18th verse further elaborates on the state's duty and the citizen's duty also. How state has to maintain Varnashram and citizens have to worship the Supreme Lord by following Varnashram. 19th verse, if king sees to the administration of Varnashram properly, Lord will be satisfied. 20, if Lord is satisfied, nothing will remain unachievable, nothing is impossible to achieve. 21, so worship the Supreme Lord through sacrifices. 22, all demigods will be satisfied with you also. Like that. So, they said you facilitate for the spiritual elevation of people, then prevent any degradation that may cause to them, and offer protection from any miscreants. That is also one thing. 17th verse. Then engage in varnashram, that then satisfy the Supreme Lord and direct them also to your sangatya. This is the summary. So Prabhupada, Gauranga Prabhu just summarizes these things in just 4-6 headings. One, facilitation. That is 16th verse. Facilitate spiritual elevation. And 16th verse is also prevent degradation. Then 17th verse is protection from miscreants. 18th verse, engagement in varnashram and worshipping Lord. And 18th verse is engaging in varnashram karma, protection. 19 and 20 verses are satisfaction of Supreme Lord. Then 21 and 22 are direction, directing citizens to perform with joy. Okay. So, we will take a break now, then we will discuss Venas reply, Narayan's reply. Direction.
Hello. You can listen to Prabhuji Gopalan and Nagar. You listen to him. You can listen to him. You can listen to him. Thank you.
We discussed till 22nd verse, so we'll begin with the 23rd verse now. So far the sages observe that Vena is as a king. He is stopping all the sacrificial performances by all the brahmanas in the kingdom, and sages become concerned about it, and then they met Vena and tried to pacify him with sweet words and suggested that he should follow the duties of a good king and follow the varnashram system here, and then enable citizens also to follow, to offer sacrifices, etc., and that please the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the demigods also. So now we will hear about the Vena's reply in 23rd verse. Vena uvacha
balijadava yugam
va adharme dharma manina jivavruttidanda bunhitva yaram pati mubhasate.
King Vena replied, "You are not at all experienced. It is very much regrettable that you are maintaining something which is not religious and are accepting it as religious. Indeed, I think you are giving up your real husband who maintains you and are searching after some paramour to worship."
So Vena's reply is a example for rejecting authority. king is supposed to rule under authority of prescriptions of saintly persons, and Vena is rejecting authorities. He is giving a very sharp reply. Balitya bata yuyamba. Some recent is coming, right? Balitya bata yuyamba. Balitya, all of you are like Balitya, very inexperienced and childish people. You are childish. Adharma is dharma mayanena. You are considering the religion as religion. Right? He has a new definition of religion, and they are not updated. All the pages. They are considering adharma as dharma. And as a demonic person, he is just having the exactly the opposite conceptions of truth. Yevrukkidam patim hutra jaram patim upasate. Jaram means caramur. So an anxious wife leaves her own husband and starts serving the caramur. That you are like that. I am your husband, and you are leaving me, and then you are considering Supreme Lord, this and that, sacrifice, demigod, this and that. So that is like paramour. Paramour worship you are doing. You do husband worship. You do whatever I say. That is his point, first point. So accusation and rationalization precedes rejection of authority. Varambhu says. Accusation means you are wrong. Here Vena is saying, Tejas, you are wrong. Then rationalization. I am right. And my perception of you is also right. Right? So that is how the beginning of rejection of authority begins. Start. So Prabhupada says here, Vena was so foolish that he accused the saintly kings of being inexperienced like small children, kids. So Prabhupada just gives the definition, explains what Vena actually meant here. The purpose of this simile is apparent. It is the duty of Kshatriyas to engage the Brahmanas in different types of religious activities. And the king is supposed to be the maintainer of Brahmanas. If the Brahmanas do not worship the king, but instead go to the demigods, they are as polluted as unsafe women. This is what Vena meant. Adharma, adharma dharma manina. What is the dharma here? King is the protector of Brahmanas. One. Second, if the Brahmanas worship the demigods neglecting the king, they are like unchaste ladies. This is the dharma. And they are deviating from this dharma, which I just defined. That is Vena's point here. 24. Avadananti ami mudha. Draparveti namishwaram. Nanavindam dite bhadram. Ihaloke paratracha.
Those who out of gross ignorance do not worship the king, who is actually the supreme personality of Godhead, experience happiness neither in this world nor in the world after death.
So he, now as Krishna, he just summarizes, quotes many verses. Avadayanati maam moodha, he is saying avadayanati ani moodha. It's like Krishna in 9.11. Right? Nrupar rupinam Isharam. It's like Krishna says sarvalokam Isharam. He is saying I am Isharam. I am the personality of Godhead. Right? As king. And here, if you ignore me, what is that? Experience happiness neither in this world, nor in the world after death. So you will not be happy in this world or in the next world also. So, don't disregard me, don't disrespect me. Just like Krishna, he's imitating Krishna. Right? Ultimate demonic conception is to think that I am God. And that's what he's doing. Atheist, like an atheist. Now, again, he's disrespecting the authority in 25th verse. Koyajna Purusho Nama Yatravo Bhaktiri Drishi Bhartrasneha viduranam yathajare kuso kuyoshitam.
You are so much devoted to the demigods, but who are they? Indeed, your affection for these demigods is exactly like the affection of unchaste women who neglect her married life and give all attention to her paramour.
Ko yajna purusho nama.
Who is this Angara sacrifices? Right? Yatravo bhaktiri drihi bhaktir sneha viduranam. You are just living bharta. Here bharta, husband is the king. Demigods are the paramas. Sages are the ancestors. This is the analogy that our Vena says. Aham sarvajna bhoktata prabhurayoka. Krishna says. So he is just taking that role and then saying, I'm everything. Right? You are devoted to demigods unnecessarily. Right. 26 and 27. Vishnur virincho girisha. Indra vayu. Indra vayur yamo ravi parjanyo dhanadasyoma kshitir agnir apanpati ete janyoga vibhudah prabhavo varasatayo dehe bhavanti rupate sarva devamayo nrupa.
Lord Vishnu, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Lord Indra, Vayu, the master of fear, Yama, the superintendent of death, the sun god, the director of rainfall, Suvira, the treasurer, the moon god, the preeminent deity of the earth, Agni, the fire god, Varuna, the lord of waters, and all others who are great and competent to bestow benedictions or dukkhas on abiding the body of the king. For this reason, the king is known as the reservoir of all demigods, who are simply parts and parcels of the king's body.
Demigods are my parts and parcels, he's saying. You know, it's like, aham hi, aham adirhi devanam, bhokta, what is it? My claim, 10th chapter verse. Aham adirhi devanam, maharshi nanta sarvajayam. Aham sarvasya prabho, matta sarvam pravartusim. So, these are the imitation verses of all the Bhagavad Gita verses. It's like, When Virat Rup just opened his nose, some demigod manifested. So all demigods are my passion parcel, he's saying. So there are many demons who think of themselves as supreme and present themselves as directors of sun, moon, other planets. This is all due to false truth. In Kali Yuga, there are so many people like that. So Hiranyakashipu also says, you worship me. So now, let's complete this invitation thing. 28. Tasmanam karmadhur vipra yajadhvam gatamatvara dalunkyama hiyam harata mattvanyahko grabhukkuman.
King Vena continues, for this reason, O Brahmana, you should abandon your envy of me. And by your
abandon your envy, you become anasuya way. Right? And by your ritualistic activities, you should worship me. Manmana bhava madhvakto madhyaji. And offer me all paraphernalia. What is that? Yat karasi adashnasi, yat juhoti gadasi, tattva pushtasi kondaya. If you are intelligent, you should know that there is no personality superior to me. Matta parkaram nanyat kinti dasi dhananjaya. Perverted Bhagavad-gita. Who can accept the first revelation of all sacrifices? Bhakta Aranjit Nirvasan. So, this is like Venu-gita. We have Venu-gita in 10th canto. Bhagavad-gita, this is Venu-gita. There is no truth superior to him. The Bhagavad-gita Krishna says, Venu was imitating the Supreme Personality of Godhead and was also speaking out of false pride, presenting himself as a supreme lord. These are the characteristics of a demoniac person. There is another comedy villain in the 10th canto. There is Pounder. Pounder, he also says, I am Vasudev, I am the original Vasudev. I have descended to the Satya planet. So Krishna, you are the imitation Vasudev. And he has sent a letter to Krishna also. Right? And I am the one and only Vasudev, and there is no other. I have descended into this world. You must give up your false name and false symbols also. Original Santa Chakra Kada Padma Armai. If you don't give up all of them, if you don't give up your name, you should give me a battle. So he was glorified and he was just flattered, not glorified. Flattered by some ignorant and innocent people. And then he actually started thinking that I am God. I have actually descended into this world. I am Vasudev. And reading this letter, all the assembly members of the Sudharma assembly hall, Krishna, right, they laughed like anything. They laughed so loudly. So something similar is happening here. And actually, inspired by Mother Saraswati, Chakravarti Pada gives a positive explanation to all such blasphemous words of demons. So here, Vena accused the stages of envy, right? Abandon your envy of me. And he said that king is the greatest of all living beings, and worshipping demigods is not bona fide. They are simply manifestations of my body. They are parts and parcels of me. So this illusion of mistaking oneself as the supreme lord instead of servant is totally demoniac tendency, which Vena is executing here. So Vena thought himself as the center of the whole existence. He is demanding respect instead of commanding the respect. So this is rejecting authority. In Kali Yuga, a person loses faith in the authority, he just wants to be independent. Vena is like that. 29th verse. Maitreya Muni is continuing. Maitreya Uvacha.
Ittam Viparyaya Mati.
Papiyan Utpatam Gata. Anuniya Manas Tadhyatnam. Nachakru Bharashta Mangala.
Great says Maitreya continues. Thus the king, who became unintelligent due to his sinful life and deviation from the right path, became actually giver of all good fortune. He could not accept the request of the great sages, which the sages put before him with great respect, and therefore he was condemned.
So there was sin, deviation takes place, and the destruction of intelligence, misfortune, so ultimately to ruination. Bhrashta Mangala, bereft of any good fortune. So the demons certainly cannot have any faith in the words of authorities. They are always disrespectful to authorities. Manifested their own religious principles. They disobey the authority. If one disobeys the authority, he will become sinful and loses all good fortune. So these are all manifestations of demonic tendencies. Itite satkritastena. Vijayah Pandita Manina Bhagnayam Bhavya Vyachanyam Tasmai Vidura Sukrudhu. My dear Vidura, all good fortune unto you. The foolish king who thought himself very learned thus insulted the great king. And the sages, being broken hearted by the king's words, become very angry at him. So although the sages spoke very humbly and sweetly, Vena was unwilling to hear their message. And the sages become broken hearted, then become angry. So their anger is not because of their unfulfilled lust. Their anger is because of their broken heartedness. Right? They become angry regretfully. So here Vena is disrespecting them, thought himself very learned. In the 10th canto also, what is the result of one's disrespect?
Just like in this current chapter 14th verse, we see Avishri Bala Kirtanam Kirtinam will increase. Avishri Bala Kirti will increase if one follows the good advice of saintly people. But Avishriyam Yashodharmam Lokan Ashisha Evacha Hanti Shreyamsi Sarvani Pumso Mahadatikkarma. This is the verse coming from the 10th canto, 4th chapter. And Kamsa just dispatches all his demoniac followers to kill all the not even that, before that. He sends everyone to destroy all the sacrifices. Right? Not allow any Brahmanas to do any Vishnu worship or other yajnas. He sends like that. In that context, Uday Gautami says this verse. Right? Avishriyam Vishodharmam Lokan Hasisha Yavaja. If one persecutes great souls, his ayu, his longevity, then shriyam, his beauty, then yasha, his fame, dharmam, his religion, lokan, ashisha yavacha. Ashisha means the blessings that he has received, and lokan, the destinations, the higher planetary systems he may be destined to reach, all of them are gone. Right? By following, by disrespecting great souls. Luke 10:446. So, the road to hell is paved by those who take their own intentions right. Here, this Vena is thinking himself very learned. Whatever I intend to do, whatever I think is correct. That is the mentality of Vena. So, this is the pathway to hell. Hanyatam Esha.
Papa Prakriti Daruna.
Jivanjagadasabhasu Kurutu Bhasmasadhruvam.
All the great saintly sages immediately cry, kill him, he is the most dreadful simple person. If he lives, he will certainly turn the whole world into ashes in no time.
So if one should not instruct the envious people, otherwise he will become more envious. It's like feeding a snake only. So that they understood at this point. They wanted to give him a chance by giving him some good counsel, but that didn't work out. So all of them said, we should kill him. The saintly persons are generally very kind to all living entities, but they are not unhappy if a scorpion or a snake are killed, because they are unnecessarily envious living entities. So we have this Bhaktisiddhanta example we just recollected. So we can appreciate the extent to which the saintly sages actually control the king. They enthrone the king, and when he is misbehaving, they are killing the king. That is the potential of great sages. So if the government or king becomes demoniac, it is the duty of the saintly person to upset the government and replace it with deserving persons who follow the orders and instructions of saintly persons. So, it may apparently seem that they are mercilessly killing this fellow, Vena, but protecting the interests of majority of people, the whole citizens, that is the real mercy. Their mercy on the citizens is making them kill a miscreant. Okay. So he is Bhubharam, right? He is such a great burden to the earth, right? If he is staying there, then he will turn the whole world into ashes within no time. That is the potential of this person. So, like that. Actually, in the third canto only, it's mentioned that there is burden of beast and burden of love. Right? All these mountains and then big things on the surface of the earth are never a burden to her. The burden is the impious things, their irreligiousness, their sinful propensities. Here Brahmanas are killing him. Brahmanas control Kshatriyas, which indicates that knowledge must control power. Right? Knowledge must control action. The Kshatriyas are the administrators. They exercise power and they act. They do the action part. But Brahmanas just give knowledge. So knowledge should control action and power. 32.
In the
very directly very envious and they come to buy it and all these things. And they are very tired, they run away in time. As far as I have seen.
He's getting colleagues next. No, I don't know how many snakes we make and not that.
It's a generalization.
Generally considered like that, the snakes are envious. But we may see some mild snakes. I don't know about that. Some mild snakes, we can pick them as an example to generalize that all snakes are mild. But the generalization of Bhagavatam we could accept. Make sense, bro?
Anybody has an experience that, you know, a snake comes and directly bites him when he's just standing there, doing nothing?
No, that happens, bro. Even if a person is doing nothing, snake will come and bite.
Self-defense is one thing, but generally, as far as I have seen, like, 5-6 times.
Okay, you may not have experienced it, but with no reason also snake can come and bite.
Okay.
Exactly, Madan Rupal to actually one scorpion bit our Mahabhagavata last year. He's doing some his work. He's not even attacking the scorpion or anything. But his hand became like this big, like Gaza here.
The purpose of the purpose is that snake, even when the person is sleeping, he comes and by scatter is only. He is not enemy, but still. Generally, venomous snakes are like that. He's non-venomous snake.
I don't have much personal experience, but as well as what I have, nature in you. How is spider created? We have a video. You can see. Okay, 32. Yes, good. Thank you. Nayam arhatya tad vritto. Nayam arhatya tad vritto. Naradeva varasanam. Yodhi yajnapatim vishnum. Vinindat. Kyana Patrapa.
The Sophie King continues, this impious, impudent man does not deserve to sit on the throne at all. He is so shameless that he even dares insult the Supreme Personality of God as Lord Vishnu.
So, here he is blaspheming the Supreme Personality of Godhead also. So, as one of the devotees of the Lord, they are not tolerating. Because one should not tolerate the blasphemy against the Lord or his devotees. Devotees generally very humble, meek, and reluctant to pick up quarrel with anyone. But it's a fault on his part if he remains silent when devotee or Vishnu are blasphemed. Sati states in the fourth canto, fourth beginning. If one hears the blasphemy of the master or controller of religion, then he must block his ears. Or he has to run away. Or if he has the ability, he should cut the tongue of that fellow and then kill him also. So that is the punishment to be given to these people, blasphemer. And then we'll get the punishment also. He'll be killed now. 33. Kovainam parudakshita. Vivanam ekam mrite shubham. Prapta idrugam aishwaryam. Yadanugraha bhajana.
But for Sringana, who is simply in a speaker, who blasphemes the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by whose mercy one is awarded all kinds of fortune and opulence.
Very nice purport that Prabhupada writes to you, sir. When human society individually or collectively becomes godless
and blasphemes the authority of Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is certainly destined for ruination. Such a civilization invites all kinds of bad fortune due to not appreciating the mercy of the Supreme Lord. One has to acknowledge the mercy of the Lord, appreciate His mercy, and worship the Supreme Lord. That is the ideal standard. If one does the opposite, then gone. In the Dwarkavas prayers also we understand, Yasya anuvritya kritino bhuvima tvameva matata sahurutpati svata tam sadgurunna paramanta devatam Yasya anuvritya kritino bhuvima. Supreme Lord is the worshipable deity, father, mother, guru, spiritual master, such a person, one has to follow him, follow his injunctions, then he will attain all success. If you just derive him, then he is a moda and he has to face the repercussions. इत्थं व्यवसिता हन्तुं ऋषयो रूढमन्यव निजद्दुर्हंकृतैर्वेदं हतं अच्युतनिन्दया. The great sage was manifesting the covert anger, immediately decided to kill the king. King Vena was already as good as that due to his blasphemy against the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So without making any weapon, the cage is killed King Vena simply by a high-sounding words. So manifesting their covert anger, till now they are concealing their anger. That's how they began their conversation. They were concealing their anger and started speaking sweet words. They come up. And now they revealed it. So instead of giving a chance to him, he is not taking advantage of it. He is already as good as a dead person. If one blasphemes the Supreme Lord, he is like a dead person. Glorification of Supreme Lord is life. Right? And blasphemy of Supreme Lord is like death. And they didn't kill him with using any weapons, just based on mantra, the high sounding words. Rishabhi Swasarma Padam. गते पुत्र कलेवरम् अनुपापालयाम् आसम् विद्यायोगो न शोचति.
After all the sages returned to their respective hermitages, the mother of King Vena, Sunita, became very much aggrieved because of her son's death. She decided to preserve the dead body of her son by the application of certain ingredients and by chanting mantras.
So this is mother's love, affection, or sneha. Affection is beyond any religious principles or logic. So sneha is beyond dharma or nyaya. So that is motherly love. Sometimes motherly love could be blind also. Diti was holding the pregnancy inside her womb. There is Hiranyaksha and Hiranyagarbha. She was holding the pregnancy not only to protect the demigods, but also to protect her son from the wrath of Supreme Lord. Right? So, and when Hiranyaksha and Hiranyagarbha were killed, Diti was so envious and she wanted to take revenge against Indra. Motherly love. That is mother. And even Dhritarashtra, he knows all his sons did lot of sinful activities. They complete lot of offense towards Pandavas and Draupadi and Kunti, etc. But still, when Bhima killed everyone, Dhritarashtra tried to kill Bhima also. Right? Krishna intervenes and then saves Bhima. So that is the parental affection of Sunita. She is preserving even the dead body of her son. Yedadamanayastete Parasvatya Salilaplikaha Sutrasmin Satkatashtakrur Upavishtasaritvate.
Once upon a time, the same saintly persons, after taking their bath in the river Saraswati, began to perform their daily duties by offering oblation into the sacrificial fire. After this, sitting on the bank of the river, they began to talk about the transcendental person and his pastime.
So, they killed him and they just went to their hermitage and started doing the sadhana. So, sadhana should go on in all circumstances. Right? They are the least effective. Although they just took a major decision of killing the king, that didn't affect their regular sadhana. And what are they doing?
Putrajin Satkathas Chakrur. Satkathas. They started discussing pastimes of Krishna. Pastimes of Hari. Sadhus do Harikatha. They do not gossip about the political affairs. So he killed the king. So now what is happening around? So it's not their gossip. If they have to speak about political affairs, that is with a sense of responsibility, right? That is with a sense of concern for the welfare of citizens in general. That is how they discuss political affairs, not unnecessarily. But by default, what they do is tat-katha. Prabhupada translates it as, they began to talk about the transcendental person and his pastimes. Like that. Then, vikshyottitanstadottatan ahurlokabhayanakan atyabhadramanathayam dasyubhyo nabhavedbhava.
In those days, there were various disturbances in the country that were creating a panic in society. Therefore, all the citizens began to talk amongst themselves. Since the king is dead, and there is no protector in the world, this fortune may befall the people in general on account of rogues and thieves.
Hmm. So, because world situation become like this, so this state of feeling their natural satisfaction that comes from sadhana, it was nevertheless clear to them that there was some trouble within them because of the absence of a king. So, they started discussing about that. So, saintly persons became very anxious for the safety of people in general. If even the saintly persons have no business in political affairs, they are always compassionate upon the people in general. Though they are always aloof from society, out of mercy and compassion, they consider how the citizens can peacefully execute their rituals and follow Vanashram. So, compassion is the basis of the sadhu's life. So he is compassionate. And it also shows earlier it's mentioned Satkatha. And immediately this verse comes, they are speaking about the dead king and the welfare of the world. So this apparently seems that Harikatha is also means not only pastimes of Krishna, it also means not only the pastimes of the transcendental person, as mentioned in the previous verse, it is also the task of practical action, how to protect innocent devotees, innocent citizens. They are speaking about that also. So Prabhupada ends the purport by saying that in this age of Kali, everything is disturbed. Therefore, people should chant Hare Krishna. Both for spiritual and material prosperity, everyone should chant Hare Krishna. 38. Evam Rishanta Rishayo Dhavatam Sarvato Disham Pamsushtamuthito Bhurish Choranam Abhidhatam.
When the great sages were carrying on their discussion in this way, they saw a dust storm arising from all directions. Its storm was caused by the running of thieves and rogues who were engaged in plundering the citizens.
So then they saw a dust storm. So thieves and rogues simply await some political upset so that people can plunder them, exploit them. Then rogues inactive in their profession, to keep thieves and rogues inactive in their profession, a strong government is always required. So that is the condition in Vainar Kingdom now. Tadupadravam ajnayam. Tadupadravam ajnayam.
Tadupadravam ajnayam.
Lokasya vasulam patam. Bhatriyas uparate tasmin. Anyonyam chadidham satam. Chorakrayam janapadam. Dhinasattvam arajakam. Lokannara lokannara rayam chakta.
api tad dosha darshana.
Upon seeing the dust storm, the saintly person should understand that there were a great deal of irregularities due to the death of King Vena. Without government, the state was devoid of law and order, and consequently there was a great uprising of murderous thieves and rogues who were plundering the riches of the people in general. Although the great sages could subdue the disturbance by their power, just as they could kill the king, they considered it improper on their part to do so. Thus, they did not attempt to stop the disturbance.
This is an important point to learn. Here in this verse, all the people in general are tormented by thieves and rogues. Now, Chakravarti says, people are mutually looting wealth also. Because of there is no proper rule, people are also developing tendencies of thieves and rogues and exploiting other people. So, actually this kind of situation, this whole situation, in King's absence in the Venus Kingdom, that made Earth, Mother Earth, hold back all the resources. She was not supplying any resources. Because no sacrifices, nothing. People are just exploiting each other. No king, no proper king, and bad king earlier. So Earth was holding back all her resources, and later Putu Maharaj, she will just chase the Earth. When Earth takes a conquest call, that will come in the future chapter. There she will say all this. Because I am being exploited, and that's why I had to take this kind of decision. Now I will do everything. So here, the sages can correct this situation. They can also subdue these thieves and rogues. But that is not the business of sages. On one hand, we will see sages being so responsible in this whole episode that when there was a king needed, they enthroned Vena, and when he was happened to be corrupt king and misbehaved king, they killed that king, and then now again another situation is coming. Here the sages are like not taking control of the incident in a way that they themselves have to subdue the wrongdoers, but they are appointing the wrongdoer, appointing a person who can control the wrongdoer. Right? So actually Brahmana must know his limits. In case of emergency, he can discard his aloofness, Brahmanical aloofness. He will discard it and then go one step ahead and take some corrective measure to correct some political situation. But how much to go inside, there is a limit. So a mature Brahmana can understand it. Just like they enthroned the king or killed the king, they didn't just kill all the thieves and rogues now. They were doing it in a different way. Right? Or they didn't become kings. So they know their limits. So emergency duties should not be regularized. Right? So saying sages killed Vena out of emergency. So that's an emergency situation. If emergency happens regularly, then it is not an emergency. So exceptions should be exceptions only. Exceptions should not become rules. Right? So it is not the duty of Brahmanas and saintly persons to kill, although they may sometimes do so in case of emergency. It is the duty of Kshatriya king to do so. Punishing thieves and rogues in the kingdom is the duty of a Kshatriya. Because there is no Kshatriya, they are installing someone, like Putu Maharaj on the throne. Thus, they reluctantly did not take part in killing business. Like that. Brahmanasya madrukshanto dinanam samupekshata sravate brahmastasyapi hinnabhandat payoyatham.
The great sages begin to think that although a Brahmana is peaceful and impartial, because he is equal to everyone, it is still not his duty to neglect poor humans. By such neglect, a Brahmana's spiritual power diminishes, just as a water kept in a cracked pot leaks out.
So, they are renounced and they feared any entanglement in political affairs. At the same time, they could not watch the citizens suffer also because of the actions of kings. So they are, one nice verse is coming. By such neglect, a Brahmana's spiritual power diminishes. Right? Devas are impartial, equal to anyone. Still, he should not neglect the pure human beings. If they neglect, that will diminish their spiritual powers. So, what to speak of devotees and kshatriyas being obligated to stop the suffering of people. Even kshatriyas and devotees are obliged to protect people. Right? If this is the case of Brahmanas, what to speak of this? What to speak of kshatriyas? That is the comparison that Chakravarti Bhatt gives. So, Brahmanas are mostly devotees and they are generally unaware of the happenings within the material world because they are totally engrossed in their spiritual activities. Yet, when there is a calamity in the human society, they cannot remain impartial. So, in their elevated condition, the Brahmanas are called Vaishnavas. There are two types of Brahmanas, Brahmana Pandita and Brahmana Vaishnava. A qualified Brahmana is naturally very learned, but when his learning is advanced in understanding of Supreme Personality of Godhead, he becomes a Brahmana Vaishnava. So, here in the 41st verse, these sages are unable to neglect the welfare of the citizen, which will cause their diminution of spiritual power. So, spiritual practice should make one very soft hearted and make one empathetic towards the sufferings of others. Right? So, hard heartedness should not be a result of practicing bhakti yoga. A devotee feels for others' distress, happiness, and his own happiness and distress. Right? So, one should not be indifferent or unempathetic towards the suffering of others. Such is the tendency of neophyte. So, when something happens to someone, one should not say, this is because of his past karma. Instead of giving a talk about his past karma, try to do something to help him in his present situation. That is how a devotee thinks, right? So that his future will become better. So, 41, last paragraph. Although King Vena was sinful, he was born in a family descending from Dhruva Maharaj. Therefore, the semen in the family must be protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is also, they have taken another responsibility. Right. Okay, Lord also protects devoted families. That will be revealed in the future verses. Nangasyavam shara garsher Yosha samsthatum arhatim Amokavirahi drupa Vamchosmin keshavashraya. The sages decided that the descendants of the family of the saintly King Anga should not be stopped, for in this family the female was very powerful and the children were prone to become devotees of the Lord. Amoha Virya. Prabhupada translated as semen of this dynasty is very powerful. Chakravarti translated as unfailing strength. Strength, Amoha Virya. They are very strongly. So now there is no king. And because Vena did not have a son also, so there was no king. And saints also thought that because this is the whole descendants of Swayambhu Manu, Uttanapad, then Dhruva Maharaj, so that descendant, that lineage is going on, the next king also should be a descendant of that lineage only. Right? He should be from that seaman only, because that seaman is very powerful, Amogha Virya. And what makes that family lineage so powerful? They are Vamsheshman Keshavashraya. They are all taking shelter of Keshava, the Supreme Lord. The purity of hereditary succession is called Amogha Virya. The pious seminal succession in the thrice-born families of Brahmanas, Kshatriyas and Vaishyas, that should be preserved by the purificatory processes of Garbhadhan and Samskar. Then only that potency will be preserved. So, yeah. But Maharaj Anga, who is coming in the lineage of Dhruva, his semen was polluted because of bad wife, Sunita. The result is Vena. So now, the sages intelligently
and because they are powerful sages, they could remove the contamination which is coming from the mother's path and then take the purity from the father's side, which is Anga's semen, and then can take and produce a child. That is Prithu Maharaj. And the purity, impurities are just separated out. Impurities coming from Sunita's side, they are separated out. That will be the next chapter, first few verses. Oh no, no, here only. It comes here only. Vinishchityayvam rishayo vipannasya mahipateha mamantur purum sarasa satrasi bahu kohara. After making a decision, the saintly persons and kings turned the thighs of dead body of King Vena with great force, and according to a specific method, and as a result of this churning, a dwarf-like person was born from King Vena's body. So they separated out the mother's portion, which is Adharma portion. So they churned the thigh of Vena, and one person named Bahuka came out. He is like a dwarf. So spirit soul is individual and separate from the body. So saintly person could visit another person from the body of death, King Vena, but it was not possible for them to bring Vena back to life because soul just went away. So the body of Vena, because it was a result of the seminal succession of the family of Dhruva Maharaj, the saintly persons are only concerned with that. Consequently, the ingredients by which another body could be produced were there in Vena's body. So they were producing another body of a descendant of Dhruva from the body of Vena, because his body is considered having the ingredients to produce another body by a certain process. How it happens, we may not know, but they know. By a certain process, when the thighs are turned, another body came out. Although the drug, King Vena was preserved by drugs and mantras chanted by Vena's mother Sunita, we discussed it. So Bahuka came out of the dead body, and it was not very really astonishing. How can a dead body produce a child? It was simply a question of knowing how to do it. It was not astonishing. You just have to do. You just have to know it. So they just knew it. So no more questions on this. From the semen of one body, another body is produced, and the life symptoms are visible due to soul taking shelter of this body. From his body, another body came out, and the soul takes took shelter in that. So what kind of soul took shelter in that? That is decided from which portion they extracted out. That is from the Adharma portion. That is Sunita's portion. See the nature of the taking such a person, Bahuka.
काकृष्णोतिरस्वांगो काकृष्णोतिरस्वांगो रस्वबाहुर्महाहुना रस्वबाहुर्महाहुना रस्वपान्निम्ननाधर्गो रस्वपान्निम्ननाधर्गो रस्ताक्षस्ताम्रमूर्धज.
This person born from King Vena's thighs was named Bahuka, and his complexion was black like crows. Right? Kata Krishna. Krishna is your black. Kata. How crow is black? He is black like that. Right? Hrastrango. Ati Hrastra. Anga. His limbs are very short. Dwarf. Hrastra Bahur. His arms are short. Then Mahahuna. But his Huna is dark. Are very big. Hrastrapan. His legs are short. Nimna Nasargo, his tip of nose is very flat. Then Rattaksa, eyes are reddish. So copper like hair. So these are the physical features of this person. Samtute vanagam dinam chinkaromi iti vadinam nishudetya bhruvam sata Panishadav Sato Bhavat. He was very submissive and meek, and immediately after his birth, he bowed down and inquired, "Sir, what shall I do?" The great sages replied, "Please sit down." Nishida. Nishida means sit down. So thus, Nishada, the father of Nishada race, was born. Because they said Nishida, he became Nishada. So, it is said that a head of the body represents the Brahmanas, arms, Kshatriyas, abdomen, Vaishyas, and legs, Shudras, beginning from thighs. So, they turned the thighs part, and then this person came out. Prabhupada made some interesting comments here. The Brahmanas are called Shukla, are white, and Kshatriyas and Vaishyas are a mixture of black and white. However, those who are extraordinarily white are said to have skin produced out of white leopard. It may be concluded that white or golden hue is the color of higher caste, and black is the complexion of the Shudra. Okay. Now don't look at each other, who is dark, who is fair, etc. After his birth, he immediately took charge of all the resultant actions of King Vena's sinful activities. As such, this Nishada class are always engaged in sinful activities like stealing, plundering, hunting. Consequently, they are only allowed to live in the hills and forests. Such plunderers, thieves, murderers, they cannot stay in the cities or towns. So, like a tribal people, they will stay there. That is the place meant for them. Okay. But, even such people can be purified. This Nishada race or Kirata race, that is another name of it. Sukirata Hona and Pulinda Pulkasa, we hear from second canto. So all of them can be purified by performing devotional service. Right? Prabhupada also quotes Bhagavad Gita, Mahi Pata Vipasita. Even women, Vaishyas and Shudras can approach supreme destination if they perform devotional service. Okay. Maitra Uvacha. Atakasya Gunar Vitra. अपुत्रस्य महीपतेः बाहुभ्यां मच्यमानाभ्यां मिथुनं समभज्यत So now they turn his thighs and Bahuka came, who took the sinful activities of Vena. And they turn their arms and a couple came. Mithunam. Samapadyuta. Mithunam. Mithunam means a couple, both male and female. So they came out. So just like turning of male question, first produced poison and then produced nectar. Similarly, turning of Vena's body, first produced Bahuka in Ishada Kulo, and a incarnation of Supreme Lord. Shaktyavas incarnation, Prithu Maharaj came out. It's like it is often said in this context that if we churn our consciousness by chanting the holy name in devotees' association, then first anarthas come out, then love of God will come out. Eventually. So here all these Brahmanas, right? A real Brahmana can turn any most inauspicious situation into most auspicious situation. So here, from a dead body of a sinful person, all these Brahmanas are separating out the sinful portion and then bringing out the glory of the dynasty of Anga and Dhruva, right? And the Anga Sriman. They are giving birth to a picture of avatar. Like that. So, after freeing the Vena's body from any negativity, Prithu Maharaj came out. Archi came out. Tadrishva Mithunam Jatam Prashayo Brahmavadina Uchuhtarama Sandhushta Viditva Bhagavat Kalam. The great sages were highly learned in Vedic knowledge. When they saw the male and female born of the arms of Vena's body, they were very pleased. But they could understand that the couple was an expansion of the plenary portion of Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So these are the 68 avatars.
Right.
So they are not, they are jivas only. They are not Vishnu Tatva, but they are specifically empowered with some power. Right? They are known as Aveshas. Here, Prithu Maharaj is the Avesha of Supreme Lord, and Arti is the Avesha of Goddess of Fortune. Right? Because Lakshmi and Narayana cannot be separated. When his expansion is coming out, and her expansion also should come out to be with him. Like that. So, Arti is the another jiva who is empowered with the powers of the opulence of Goddess of Fortune. And how can an avatar appear from sinful body of dead Vena? So that is explained here and we discussed also. Because Vena's body is purified by removing out the Bahuka person there. So, now seeing the sages immediately predicted their glorious activity of Vena and Purtu and Archi.
Rishaya Ituhu Esa Vishnar Bhagavata कला भुवन पालिनी इयं च लक्ष्म्या सम्भूति पुरुषस्य पुरुषस्य अनतायिनी.
The male is a planet extension of the power of Lord Vishnu, who maintains the entire universe, and the female is a planet extension of the goddess of fortune, who is never separated from the Lord.
So purusha anapayini, never separated, inseparable from purusha. Right? And prithu is bhavanapayini. So bhavanapayini means one who maintains the world. So prithu maharaj is the chakyavesha incarnation. They are endowed with specific power. And what is the chakti? That is empowering prithu maharaj, palana chakti. The palana chakti is empowered to rule the earth properly, nicely. Narada Muni is Bhakti Shakti, and what is Four Kumaras, what is it? Jnana Shakti. So like the different people are empowered in different ways. So here Prithu Maharaj is appearing from the dead body of Vena. Varahadeva appears from where? From the nose. What comes out of nose is not very auspicious. Right? So Varahadeva came out of the nose of Brahma. Dead body is definitely very contaminated. Vena. Vena's dead body, and Prithu Maharaj is coming out from there, right? Vasudeva came out from the pillar, right? When Lord is present, there is no question of contamination. He can appear from anywhere, and he can still remain pure. Just because he appears from the nose, you can't say Varahadeva is like this. He appears from nose, he is in a hog body, right? And he is just playing in Garbhodaka ocean, right? So it is. Sun is, just like sun is never contaminated by any impurities, Lord is also not contaminated by any impurities. So this shows Lord's independent nature. He is Varaha. He can choose a dead body also for his appearance. So here Prabhupada explains the significance of Goddess of Fortune. So one should worship Lakshmi and Narayana together. And engage Lakshmi in Narayana service. If he has wealth, he should engage it in Narayana service. Then his opulence will increase. People will just desire for material opulence and worship only Lakshmi. Right? Go to South India, every stop has Lakshmi Devi. Right? Sitting in lotus, one side one elephant, other side another elephant, throwing rains of gold coins, her hands, both hands are covering gold coins. Right? Shubh labh, so all that. So one should engage Lakshmi in Narayana service and worship both of them together. Don't separate Lakshmi from Narayana. Just like Ravana separated Sita from Ram. Right? Goddess of Fortune is inseparable from Lord Vishnu. Anapayini, Purushasya Anapayini. That is how she is described here. She is inseparable. Don't follow the example of Ravana. Prabhupada. So, and see, Goddess of Fortune is inseparable from Purusha, although he is not interested. What is that verse from third canto? He says, no? He tells, Sri before that, in that series, no, not that series, next chapter, 16th chapter. he tells Four Kumara, Yetteya Karana Padma Pavitra Veya. Sajya Kshanaj, Sajya Sajya Kshataya Khila Malam, Sati Labda Shila. Nakshmir Uratki Madhima, Vijahati Yashmi, Prakshya Lavarkha Yatre, Niyaman Mahanti. Just to get a slightest favor of Goddess of Fortune, many demigods and other great personalities are following so many vows and austerities. And I am not interested in her. She has a lot of time following. But she follows me only. She is not leaving me only. Although I am not interested in her. So that is Lakshmi Vinsa Prabhu.
Ayam tu prathamo rajnyam.
Ayam tu prathamo rajnyam.
Puman prachayva prachayuta yasha.
Puman prachayuta yasha.
Pruthurnama Maharajo,
Pruthurnama Maharajo,
Havishyanti Pruthushrava,
Havishyanti Pruthushrava.
After two, the Lord will be able to expand his reputation throughout the world. His name will be Pruthu. Indeed, he will be the first among kings.
So, he is the first among the kings. Pruthushrava is, his reputation is widely known. Okay, he can expand his reputation throughout the world. That is why he is called Pruthushrava. Okay, next, King Prithvi is an incarnation of the ruling force of the law. We discussed this Palana Shakti.
Yam Chasadati Devi,
Vanabhushana
Bhushana,
Archirnama
Vararoha,
Pritham Eva Varundhati.
The
female has such beautiful teeth and beautiful qualities. She actually beautify the ornament she wears. Guna, Bhushana, Bhushana. Bhushana, Bhushana. Param, Param, Bhushana, Bhushana. Krishna is also described like this. He is the ornament of all ornaments. When somebody wears some ornament, the person is beautiful. But ornaments are beautified by adorning that person. That is Lakshmi and Krishna. Bhushana, Bhushana. Just like Lord Ram, he is described as such stone. He can verify all the good qualities. When he exhibits some good qualities, those qualities are glorified to the maximum possible extent. Right? Not that Ram is glorified. The qualities are glorified. Humility, the quality becomes popular when this personality exhibits that quality. Or what is that? Righteousness. Right? Equanimity. So all that. Ram is like touchstone. Then, Kesasakshadharir Amsho,
Jato Loka Rirakshaya,
Uyam Kesatara Hishrir,
Anujajne Napayini.
In the form of King Prithu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has appeared through a part of his potency to credit the people of the world. The Goddess of Fortune is a constant companion of the Lord, again Anapayani. And therefore she has incarnated partially as Archi to become King Prithu's queen. So Prabhupada Bhagavad Gita, he says, whenever one sees an extraordinary power, he should conclude that a specific partial representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is present.
Tattva-vivāva-gacchatvam
mama tejonti sambhavam. It is because of Supreme Lord's potency when we are perceiving certain opulent things in this world. So incarnations are empowered with specific purposes. Okay, 6 verses are over. Next Maitreya begins. We can end here. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki Srila Prabhupada ki. I'll give questions later.
So we are calling and okay. Thank you.